Hey everybody, how you guys doing? We are back. I am back on. Sorry for last week. We didn't have a podcast. I had
electrical.
Yeah, I had electrical issues that happened, and they needed my attention because we had a wire in the wall that was starting to have some neutral faults. So we're looking at potential fire hazard going on. Had to fix that, and then of course my man Jesse over here, he tried to run the podcast on his own, but he ran into the wonderful world of Linux snafus.
And
it didn't go so well for him. Other than that,
we had some words. OBS and I had some words. Linux and I had some words. And as the title would suggest, I rage quit. Dude, it was crazy. I just felt like everything that I tried to do wound up causing another issue, and it was just a domino effect.
Right.
I got so frustrated, and you know, I think over 20 years of using Linux in some form or another, mm-hmm. I've had, you know, a handful of these moments. How about you guys, the longer term users, have you ever gotten so frustrated with a project that you were doing on a Linux system that you know could have been easier on a mainstream OS, and you have that moment where you're almost like, just screw it, I'm done with Linux? Because, you know, it didn't last long, but I definitely felt it for a minute.
I would have to say that happened to me last a couple years ago, actually. I mean, like 7-8 years ago. I have just been using Linux for so long that I don't run into those problems anymore. But then also, again, I've learned a long time ago, because I went through the what I call the medieval ages of Linux.
Oh, it used to be a lot worse.
Yeah, I went through the medieval ages of Linux, and in retrospect, I learned back then that, you know, instead of fully chest breathing, you know, you did like light panty breathing, so you wouldn't break anything. You know what I mean? and so I'm still stuck in that world right now. I learned that I stay in my lane on Linux, and I keep going. You know what I'm saying? And unless I have to change, then I don't change. You know what I mean? I just,
right.
I'm not afraid of it. Don't by any means, but
no, but, no, I wouldn't say that I was afraid either.
Yeah.
I definitely got frustrated because the two Linux bases that I like operate so much differently from one another,
mm-hmm.
and bouncing between Arch and Debian bases or Ubuntu bases,
mm-hmm.
will frustrate you in basic tasks, not because either one is bad,
right,
but because they work so differently and the way you administer the system is so different.
You said the trigger word, Debian. So I'm showing them.
Well, I mean, since this is not a Gentoo video.
Yeah, I'm showing them one does not simply make Debian stable crash.
Yeah, and I will say again that my Debian knowledge extends to Ubuntu and its derivatives and forks. I've never used straight up Debian, and maybe that's my mm-hmm. issue. Maybe that'll give me what I like about apt-based package management,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, slower release cycles, but there's more under the hood than a straight up, than, you know, just an Ubuntu, and then you don't have the politics of Canonical to worry about.
Right.
So it's on my list.
Nice. Hey, can you do me a favor?
What's that?
Pop into the Discord and do an
oh, yeah.
@everyone. We're live.
Oh yeah.
In announcements.
Yeah, go ahead and drop the Discord in the show real quick. Hanging out in chat that might want to be in our Discord and isn't.
The link is in the description. So if you're wanting to find our Discord, go ahead and click on the links down below in the description. You could also find us over on YouTube at the Linux Tube. We're also on Twitter at the Linux Tube. You could also find us over on Patreon, which is the Linux Tube on Patreon. And then also you can
shout
find
out
us
to the podcast now.
Yeah.
The actual podcast formats.
I'm getting ready to. And then also you can find us as well on Buy Me a Coffee if you want to support the show there. Also, last week I inaugurally launched our official BeanPod account. So we are listed on BeanPod, which also turns around and blasts us throughout. We are on, what is it, Podcast FM. We're on TuneIn. We are on Spotify as well. And I believe we're on Amazon. Yeah, we're on Amazon, the platform for podcasts for them, which is, I don't know if it's in their music or what, but I think it's in Amazon Music, but we're there as well. And the only one that we're not on, even though I've created an iTunes account and did all that, is trying to be on Apple Podcasts. I don't know why it won't let me create an account and work with it. I don't know why, but I've tried and tried and tried. I'll try to figure it out again this week, see if I can get it going or not, to be on the iTunes store as well for Apple Podcasts. But nice. Other than that, we are actually now officially outside of the Google space, you know, the YouTube space. We're actually internationally.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You know, one thing that we might do, I may look at opening us up to occasional Twitch streams. I think that would be cool for more off the beaten path stuff. Like if we had a gaming session, that would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
That'd What's the cool. last game you played on Linux? And handhelds don't count, phones don't count. What's the last Linux PC game you played?
The last Linux PC game that I played was, I would have to say, it was Crysis, actually.
So you can run Crysis?
Yeah. And I'm, wow. And guess what I'm running it on?
Wine?
No. Well, yeah. But, well, actually... the Proton, but Regatta OS.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I have a dual
OS is pretty cool. I really wish that my computer liked it better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most of this last week that I spent, you know, just contemplating my life choices that led me to be a Linux content creator. I think that a lot of it.
So we're delving into the first topic then?
Yeah. We're going to talk about that.
Jesse Rage quitting? Once again, he did the Debian thing where he made it stable kind of crash.
Oh, I don't think it's fair to say Ubuntu Studio and Debian Stable are the same thing by a long shot.
No, that's not fair. That was a meme.
We're going to get flamed in the comments for that.
And that's okay. I like the interaction. Flame away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so it started with digging around our system, and we'll get to the topic I'm referencing here in a sec later on in the show. But right after you and I had our Discord session post-podcast and went over to...
DT's in the chat.
Nice. Hey, DT, how you doing? So yeah, you know, we had a Discord session and we went over to the Discord for OBS Studio.
Right.
Alex and I were actually working together to tune up our respective mics. So DT, how is my mic and how is Alex's? We both did some filtering, some EQ, some adjustments.
He said, by the way, he said Zero AD is the GOAT of FOSS gaming.
I have not done Zero AD. My Linux native game that I always run over to is Super Tux.
Mm. I like Zero AD. And it's really funny he said that, because over on Zany's Discord, there's a cat over there named Hip Dad. And I'm sure he knows.
Yeah,
he knows
Hip Dad too,
because he's been on his podcast too. But Hip Dad's always playing Zero AD over on Zany's Discord.
Cool. And DT says excellent audio, very well balanced. Yeah, we did a lot of work under the hood, so glad to know that it's better for you guys.
Heck yes.
So we did some audio routing, which was really cool. And I think, you know, another shout out to Pipewire for making that portion so seamless. Because your distro runs Pipewire too, right?
Right.
So what we wound up doing is, in a nutshell, we rerouted the monitor of our mics to an output that we don't actually hear. And then Discord lets you pull that in as a mic source.
Right.
So we were able to get our nice spiffy audio out of OBS into Discord and then sort of back into OBS and out to the stream.
Yeah, we learned that, but we'll talk about that topic later because that's your second topic.
So, you know, after we had so much success with that, I decided I was gonna... Oh, shit. What's the over-under before Pulse Audio screws it all up again? Oh, no.
I'm ignoring that. That message never appeared. Where's the delete
button? Mod that out.
Where's the delete button?
Mod that out. Yeah. DT, you're grounded. So I was so excited by the success we had with configuring PAVU control,
PAVU
and
control,
OBS and all that stuff. So I started digging around for performance tweaks, and I was running OBS and not much else, but it was Ubuntu Studio, which I normally love. But KDE is too heavy for me since, 10th gen i5 in my laptop.
Mm-hmm.
Got a lot of RAM, but I don't feel like for a podcasting machine that...
You don't have a lot of horsepower.
Not for a laptop i5, I don't think so. Even though it's 10th gen, there's... I think a Ryzen CPU would just smoke me out. And so I decided I was going to follow some tutorials to replace Kwin with PyCom.
Okay.
So... I was like, oh, cool. I'm going to get all this cool stuff and have, you know, more performance. Cause everybody who was streaming their content about PyCom, it looks great.
Mm-hmm.
It looks very lightweight. It looks good. So I get the swap done and lose my window decorations and by extension, the ability to move windows.
Right.
And if you don't have Kwin, you don't get desktop effects and stuff like that. And I do like a little bit of eye candy.
Sure.
You know, just because we can have it. Right. So I reboot thinking this is fine. You know, it probably just needs a reboot or something because I switch compositors. Like one of the rare times Linux might need a reboot more than just a log out, log in. I shouldn't hit that reboot. Alex, I shouldn't have done it. I come back to an unbootable system, and I realized that I had either screwed my X session or display manager somehow.
Yep. More than likely your display manager.
Yeah. And, you know, it became one of those instances where it was probably quicker to reinstall it than to unmake the mess that I had made. Because most of my production stuff is on my data drive.
Right.
So, like, not a big deal.
Right. Bless you.
Yeah. Sorry. Allergies.
Yeah.
I hope you didn't get your ears blown out.
No, it was absolutely quiet.
But, so yeah.
So then you went...
I come back to it, and I started distro hopping out of frustration, which I can't believe I got sucked into as, you know, somebody who's been using Linux so long and, you know, often unprofessionally. That's never a good idea. It's a rookie move.
Mm-hmm.
I know the bases that I like. Mm-hmm. I've got a data drive. I can just, you know, spin something up and be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted lightweight eye candy. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to be told no.
And so?
So
you went down a rabbit hole.
I went down a rabbit hole. I got my stainless steel Ventoy drive.
Right.
Because this was serious. I love this thing. It's made by... Who made this?
Sandisk,
it says it's made by Ant Disc. I don't know if the camera will show this.
No, barely, but yeah, I see it. It's got a little logo of an ant. Yeah. Yep.
There we go.
It showed it.
This is not a sponsored post, and here goes the autofocus. Yeah. So I loaded up a couple Debian bases. I load up a couple Arch bases.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I am going to have my eye candy or I quit.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just eye candy. I knew that I was going to have to redo OBS. And to get the production plugins for like game capture and stuff, you mm-hmm. don't use them. They're a little bit more annoying.
Right.
And I've still got I lost, you know, so much production time from going down this rabbit hole.
Right.
But so Endeavor decides it doesn't want to play nice.
Oh, I could never. It's funny you're talking about Endeavor because that's one that. I installed it, and outside of the initial install, it looks good, but then it just stopped looking good real quick. You know, I had nothing but issues with it, and it was just, I didn't like Endeavor. Never have.
It's gorgeous to look at, and it seems like a great way to experience Arch,
mm-hmm.
but that's not what I had. And I don't want to turn it into a review podcast. I'm trying to skim it over, mm-hmm. so... I wound up figuring out that I had to boot it from Ventoy in grub mode and not normal mode,
mm-hmm.
even though I have a UEFI BIOS, so go mm-hmm. figure.
Right.
And then, so Endeavor didn't play nice. Manjaro didn't play nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a couple times where DT himself talks about Manjaro,
mm-hmm.
and it always looks good.
Hey, Kuya, welcome to the chat, Kuya.
When he's at the helm, he makes any distro look good.
Well, yeah, and you know, it's funny you mentioned that because I've been playing with this distro for the last couple weeks now, and I'm definitely going to be making the jump to that as my daily driver. I just gotta pull up my bootstraps and figure out about
review video. Let's go.
Yeah, I did the review video. Zero played hard.
Zero played bad.
I did the DTOS review video, and I tell you, ever since then, I've actually found more beautiful things in it. It's what I like about it, and this isn't trying to be a review distro. Go watch the review. DT did. He even commented on it. Thank you for that, by the way, DT. But at any instance, what I like about it is it doesn't have, like, Arco Linux, which is what I drive now, has got so much... bloat in it. I mean, Eric Dubois, I mean, go take a look at his damn Bash RC alone. It's pages long. Uh-oh. You know? And so with DTs, everything's much more streamlined, simple. It's got exactly what you need in it. What we do already there. It's, you know, I mean, other than OBS.
Well, yeah, he makes content. Kind of, yeah. So,
I mean, but it's already streamlined for so well. It's minimal, but not minimal, I guess would be the best way to describe it. I mean, it's just well done. Absolutely well done. And the one thing that I just love is that I fell in love with was the actual the DM scripts that he's got already plugged into it, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Oh. Emacs is for crazies. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I wound up playing with a couple Arch distros. They mm-hmm. didn't play nice. I couldn't get every single thing that I wanted out of Zero, and that frustrates me because
mm-hmm.
y'all know, if you've been around for a while, that Steve and I, we were pretty tight on the Zero side and mm-hmm. ran a podcast together for about a year
mm-hmm.
before I came here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very familiar with it. It's still my favorite Arch distro.
Steve is a brother from another mother.
Oh yeah, still is. Absolutely. Yep. But for a content creation machine, I can't get behind something rolling release like something Arch-based. I think it's too many things moving, too many things changing all the time. Sometimes multiple updates in a day, and you know that's cool and all.
Well, yeah, that's a key difference. That's a key difference between Linux and Windows.
Right.
Is you don't have to accept those updates.
You're correct.
So you can kind of keep yourself. We miss you too, Steve. Steve just said that in the chat, by the way. But I mean, you don't have to accept the updates. You can actually get rid of that notification.
Oh yeah.
Tray and not have to worry about it. You know that, right?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Come on now. But it's something about, you know, not doing a Linux update feels wrong. Because I inherently trust them way more than a Windows update.
Well, you know, actually, when it comes from your OS's package manager, I could see that. But if you're on Arch and you're doing like the AUR updates, then that's definitely not advisable. Be very careful.
Don't use rolling release for production. You would be crazy if you do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I lost a week, dude. I was cussing at my computer. I was like, you know, rah, rah, rah. I don't want to get us demonetized, but I beep, 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 Linux. So yeah, I got so frustrated that I was just almost like, okay, I'm done.
During the course of the week, I got a DM from Jesse, and he says, my week was so bad that I almost went back to Windows. And I said to myself, I'm just going to leave that right there for a minute.
Yeah, I'm glad that you didn't respond.
Melissa.
Hey, Melissa. Yeah, she suffered through it. Yeah, she suffered through it. It's, yeah.
That is,
it's good. You know, he really likes Linux a fair bit too, and she had been using it before we met, and that was kind of cool. You know, normally mm-hmm. I'm the Linux evangelist to my dating partners, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh no, and proceeded to tell me how she recycled a thrown away school computer with Puppy, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool, you know, to not have to go through that whole spiel. But
Linux is actually very nice, lightweight. You could do that with the old hardware, and it just works right out the
bottom. Oh yeah. And so, you know, I finally got my wits about me after trying and trying and trying with every compositor I could figure out, mm-hmm. mess with. And what I realized was I do like KDE, or I like the window effects of KDE. I like the smoothness of Wayland, mm-hmm. but I didn't want that bloat on the laptop. I was getting lag in OBS. I was getting lag in Kden Live, mm-hmm. and I wanted to strip it down. And I finally settled on an Ubuntu base, again, mostly out of just familiarity with their system.
Right.
And I wound up using Kwin dropped on top of LXQT, and I'm really, really happy with the blend.
Right.
And I kind of reestablished my sanity.
So in retrospect, you were getting quality window management and compositing.
Mm.
On a very light based distro, so you're getting correct. A lot of horsepower with beauty combined.
Yep, and that's always what I've been chasing. That's why that's what I was trying to do with Budgie, but I thought I could do better. And I have landed somewhere I really like. I get, you know, blurry windows, I get transparent windows, I get mm-hmm. all the fluid motions and stuff. And on top of everything, it's the lightest weight I think I have ever seen on a production machine recently, especially on this laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's working with Optimus the way that I want.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, how your hybrid graphics are coming through great, right?
I disabled the hybrid and went just 100% NVIDIA because I never travel with this.
Right.
I treat it like a desktop. So I just, I disabled it that way. If anything ever happens to the NVIDIA chip, mm-hmm. I haven't been using this Intel for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I can do what I did on my 2011 Mac and just disable the NVIDIA GPU in the UEFI. You can, there was a whole thing about it a long time ago when they were famous for overheating.
Mm-hmm.
People were recycling the Macs with blown out AMD chips as mm-hmm. Intel only Linux machines, because you could go into the UEFI and pass arguments there that before the OS even loaded up.
Right.
From the EFI partition, it was disabling the discrete GPU at the motherboard level.
Nice.
Really cool. So yeah. Nice. I rage quit, but I'm back.
So you're back to
I'm
being good. Being stable again. That is awesome. Which segues into our next topic, which is my topic that I want to talk about, which is how the actual LTS kernel is going from a 6-year cycle to a 2-year cycle, which that in and of itself isn't such huge news in the desktop world as much as it's going to be in the Android world and other, you know, one-offs like that, that are relying on that because it allows them to embed stuff. But still, it's going to be a 2-year cycle. Like I'm showing right now, you can't see it, but I'm showing how 6.1 is the latest LTS and 4.14 is the oldest LTS, which is, 5 year and 10 months ago. And it's going to end support for on January 1, 2004, coming the first of the year. So you're going to lose that one and the 5.4, and we're just going to have like 3 LTSs, I believe, is what's going to happen. So in retrospect, like I said, it's not going to be a huge significant change for the desktop world, but for like Android users and anything that's built off of, you know, like Android or anything like that, it's going to present some issues. And, you know, they announced it what they announced, what the reason why is because they've, you know, in all the traffic and all the actual, you know, statistics that they've run and that they've researched on and everything, they found that, simply put, nobody's using it past the oldest 5.1 kernel. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So like the 4.14 and the other one, they're just not using it. So why go through the maintenance of it? You know,
right?
Go ahead. I mean, cut you off.
If it's, you know, if it's managing resources, that makes sense. And if nobody's using it, then it is wasted effort.
And that brings me to the point that I wanted to make, that it just actually makes sense. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense in the maintenance value. You're maintaining this kernel that nobody really uses. Back in the day, you had to maintain it because the kernel was fragmented, I guess, there was always issues. There were so many issues with so many different hardware. But now the kernel is actually becoming so feature complete.
Yeah.
It's, you know, simply tuning up things, adding new things that you want or any new trends that are going on with new hardware. But all the old hardware is still rock solid. So, you know, they're finding that a lot fewer people are, Steve said, Intel GPU Lappy has 4K touchscreen too. It's a Dell XPS 9360. Oh, cool.
That sounds like a candidate for Wayland.
Yeah, literally. I think that's why he did that was so that he could start testing Wayland for Zero. But with the new kernels coming out being so feature complete, so to speak, Wayland time. But anyhow, the kernel being so feature complete that it makes sense not to have to actually, you know, maintain all those different versions of the kernel.
Yeah, and I get that. That makes sense too.
I mean, you needed those back in the day because you need to be able to roll back to it and go back to your stable stuff once you re-released you know, when once you did a new release or something like that, you know.
Well, I remember the days of having to manually install GPU drivers, and you could break your kernel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But now,
when I did use Gentoo, Josh, Gentoo was my first like heavy hitter distro. I used it off and on for a while. You had to make sure that you selected your kernel options correct, because there really wasn't a fail safe if you were doing it through the CLI and you put in a module that you didn't have the hardware for. You could nuke yourself.
Nuke your system. Yeah, absolutely. And that's what but that's the flexibility and the power of building your own.
Oh yeah. If you're in there, you should know what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Gentoo is great about, and I'm really surprised Josh isn't in here. But anyhow, Gentoo's great. He's probably preparing for Matt's podcast.
Right.
But yeah, Gentoo's great about that, you know, and knowing the kernels and knowing the different modules, that would be amazing, you know, and is an amazing thing to be able to do. Steve from Zero Linux says, I'm running 0G in Wayland mode for now. Oh, nice. So you're already playing with it. That is cool. That is
from
really
2017.
Cool.
See, and this is the point we're saying about the older kernels. You know, what kernel are you running on your 0G right now for that old, technically older hardware, but not really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so the Linux kernel, you know, I can't wait for it to be streamlined where there are only like one or two kernels that they're having. I mean, it's already pretty much so there. I think they're choosing to do that.
I don't think you're going to have just one or two.
I think they're choosing to do that to continue to allow like the Android development and all that kind of stuff, their support that they need for their older, more finite, you know, stuff, gear, you know.
Sure.
But then again, even your handhelds are getting so powerful. They're like mini computers in your hand.
Yeah, I mean, they have been for a while.
Like the Samsung phones, I don't want to get on the phone talk again, but I mean, the Samsung phones, they're mini computers. And so are iPhones, you know. He's running the latest 6.1.52.
Okay. Yeah.
What he said.
Staying a couple releases back. That's pretty smart.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, so that's cool that they're actually, we've gotten Linux to the point now that they don't have to have a 6-year span for the LTS support.
Right. And it's, you know, you're not seeing, I don't encounter planned obsolescence, because there's no reason for that in Linux. There's, you know, there's,
that's literally counterintuitive
to
the purpose of Linux. Linux was to be able to recycle, you know, old hardware, be able to use it, you know. So that's cool.
It's, yeah, it's really cool.
So what's your next topic?
So you know, we referenced it a little while ago when I was talking about how I had rage quit. But right before that happened and I started breaking stuff, I had a great time you over.
Yeah,
I took you with me and we went over to the OBS Studio Discord server, which, great folks over there. You know, it's not a huge, huge following that I've encountered. It's usually the same couple of people in the Linux channel, but I love that it's there. People are so helpful. They're chatty, and you know, they'll really take time if you ask a question, you know, intelligently and politely. Somebody will generally come in and explain to you what's going on with your OBS, or why you need to do this thing or that thing.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, when I was using a plugin that stopped working after 27, a couple of the folks helped me on multiple distro bases, mm-hmm. and we got to chat with Tiberium over there.
Mm-hmm. Tiberium
on
I was gonna say, give a little background on Tiberium.
So if I remember right, I've been talking to him for a long time, off and on in that Discord with different questions. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure Steve was the person that made me aware of him.
Mm-hmm.
If I am not mixing up my devs here, I believe he's responsible for the Titan 652 fork of OBS Studio.
Mm-hmm.
So really, really cool. And he took us through the things that we did that helped us step up our audio mm-hmm. for this week's podcast.
Yeah, he really
yeah, like step by step, made sure we understood what we were doing. You know, there were a couple times where he put screenshots in the chat
on for the step by step tutorial. Yeah, it was pretty amazing. His knowledge of the OBS was just insane. It was insane.
He was so matter of fact about it, but he wasn't rude. Like, oh yeah, what you guys are trying to do is easy. All you have to do is this, this, and this. And then once we did it, it was so easy.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, he Titan 6x4 dev. Yeah. Amazing package, just unofficial. Absolutely. Yep. But the thing is that whole Discord community over there was so nice. I mean, I have my own Discord. And Matt and a lot of people have their own Discord. Steve has his own Discord. We all got Discords. And what is amazing is all our Discords, we have, you always have that one individual that will come in there and create a lot of disruption. Sometimes it's two, sometimes it's three, but you know, they seem to come through and
we didn't experience
any of that in that Discord. That Discord was absolutely, you know, amazing, which is really wild, because when I've gone to find anything for, you know, OBS or anything like that, I always go to their, you know, support page on the OBS webpage, right? You know, to their forum and stuff.
Oh, that's wild over there.
And it's wild over there. So when you told me about that, you know, going to their Discord, their OBS Discord, I was like, this is going to be real time slap in the faces. You know what I'm saying?
Thought we were going to get just RTFM'd out of existence.
Yeah, exactly. And when we went over there, it was like totally the opposite. And it's like now that's where I'm going to start driving all my stuff to whenever I want to do anything with OBS or I need to, you know, learn something on the fly real
quick. I've learned going over there so much, so thoroughly and so fast. Heading over there with questions, you know, as I became a more involved content creator, it's just mm-hmm. been fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. And what, you know, like the benefit of it is the picture quality on us is better, and also the audio quality. DT had said earlier that it were much more well balanced and sounding a lot better. So I mean, that was all due to that. RTFM is my job. Tell the user.
Steve. You know how to strike fear into the user with three words? RTFM. Password reset day.
Yeah. RTFM is that is, you know, I can't blame Steve because he went through.
He's got to be tired.
Yeah, he went through a living hell trying to, and it's really funny because since DTOS put his iOS out or ISO out, I wonder how many like messages he's gotten on things. You know, as more and more people start picking it up, like, and I could just. Steve's already got no hair. I mean, DT's already got no hair. I can imagine how far less he would have by now.
Oh no!
But in any instance, Steve went through hell, so he needed to bring it back to what the basis of. And it says in the name of Zero Linux that this is
self-reliance is king.
Self-reliance is king. Yeah, this is where you need to learn. You know, and I agree with that. You know, and like. All this kind of spawned off of a conversation that I had with Steve in stating that a lot of people are creating complex distros and making them so easy to install that it's almost giving a illusion to the new users that it is easy to use this distribution when it's never was designed to be that way. It's like
it's easy for somebody that knows.
Yeah, exactly. Like telling a new to Linux user to go and fire up LFS.
Yeah, please don't.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's not something you want to do. And with a lot of these developers developing another, you know, all these useless, you know, distros out there, you know, developing all these useless distros out there and forks of, teaching I'm not afraid to ignore all. Crickets. Hey, DT, how do I do this on your distro? That's what you hear.
Nothing.
but anyhow, I mean, you know, there's that illusion of all these, you know, forks of arch that are being made, and people are needing to figure out how to do things for themselves. He ignores all his messages, and so the reality is I blame devs for that because they've done it too well, but it's not a bad blame in the sense of like, oh, shame on you. But it's just like, if you make it so easy like that without being upfront and honest, you know, to make it that way, then that you don't want it to be that way, then you can't be so upset when people are coming to you for the basic of basics, you know? And so Steve and I talked about that. He's just, oh, Steve, hell, no, DT, don't type. Just drive, brother. I don't,
Nope.
I want to see your next video.
McDonald's drive through. McDonald's breakfast. Coffee.
Nice. We got to have him on the show one day. We got to
On. DT, please join us for a session. It'd absolutely be a blast.
But
zero is a useless distro. Steve, stop it.
No.
Behave. It is not a useless distro. No. Although I will say, I wound up learning about zero after I tried to act like Garuda was easy to use. Mm-hmm. And it was so clunky. I tried it, you know, when I was having my PyCom escapade week.
Mm-hmm.
I was using everything that I knew that had a current version of PyCom.
Right.
And I was just seeing all these different ways, you know, you've got six package managers here, or, you know, 17 mm-hmm. terminals. And it's like, why is there so much crap in here in some of these distros? It's like, just give me a terminal, give me a web browser.
Once again,
like, yeah, I want some eye candy, but
that leads to my point once again, that it is made so easy on a complex distro that it's actually very misleading. And what's up, Danny?
Ham.
But anyhow, don't call him Ham. That's another person that you don't want to talk about in distro world or in Discord Uh-oh. World. but anyhow, that's Hammer Heart. But anyhow, it's misleading to the new users. And right. I told Steve one of the best ways to make his distro more compliant towards being, you know, self-reliant is get away from the package manager GUI. Make them use Pac-Man the way you're supposed to, or Paru, or right. Yay. You know, yep. Do that so that way they realize instantly right off the bat when they want to go install, you know, their zero AD or whatever, you know, right off the, yep. Oh shit, I'm in a different world right now. You know what I'm saying?
Right. It's like, right.
That's like a clear shot, warning shot across the bow. You know,
right. It's not a Windows install. It's not, you know, next finish.
Exactly.
You're changing your OS here, and you should know what you're doing.
Exactly. You know,
at least on some level.
Yeah. Yeah. So that way they're forced to realize that, hey, I'm going to be playing in command line for a minute here. Yeah, Ham is a forbidden word, and yeah, I
sorry, command line sorry, for life. Don't cancel me.
and Steve said, and he listened like a good boy, and that he is. That's right. Yes, sir. Danny, we are well. We are very well. Oh, yeah. How is your day going, my friend? Are you getting ready for the kids, cooking them the breakfast and all that good stuff, or hopefully it's already over and now you can fully pay attention to the podcast? But yeah, I mean, I think that is a good start, and that is a good thing that a lot of people should be doing with the, you know, with the distros that they're designing for. You know, when you're developing a distro, definitely look at the target audience that you're wanting to make this distro for, and
right.
and sing to that audience. You know what I mean? Kind of like you do on
absolutely
on stage. Yeah. You know. No more PAMAC, it's gone. By the way, the mermaids, yeah. So, yep, the Discord link is in the channel. So if you guys get a chance, join our Discord. And that pretty much so will wrap up the Discord talk that we were talking about.
Yeah.
Just had lunch, actually. That's cool.
Nice.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, I really enjoy the useless distros, and that that is a that's a kick.
That's your new hype word.
Well, it's
so good.
When CTT came out with it, man, I was like, you know, I get what he's trying to say, man, but boy, oh boy, was he kind of harsh on that one. But I think that was by design.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
useless distros.
Yeah. Either way, so then my next thing I want to talk about is pretty much so GNOME 45 released. And
oh yeah.
What I like about is the changes I'm showing it right now. So they did more of the redesign on GNOME 45, which is interesting because you know, I want to ask Steve if he's gonna implement it into his new into the 0G that you could get from him through donations for the ISO or build it yourself. But at either way, you know, they redesigned it, and in the redesign, the activities button went away, and they made it a button up here in the corner, in the upper left-hand corner, which is more streamlined, which when you click on it, it's going to give you your virtual desktops, and you could cycle through them a little bit more functionally using your middle scroll button. In the file manager, which is the GNOME Files app, obviously, and they had just added their thumbnails, right? Well, in their thumbnail view, it kind of made it a little bit laggy, and so they increased the performance, and then they also expanded the actual left pane on the left-hand side where it's more complete. So they did that. And then in their system settings, they kind of improved upon the actual information. Like when you click on your OS info, it gives you more complete information on there, and it's more streamlined as well. They did that. And then they did a lot of performance tweaks under the hood to it, which, you know, is nice because I'm kind of, I said it a couple of podcasts ago, and I'm reiterating it again. GNOME has really stepped up their game as to what they're doing for their desktop environment. I mean, they've come a long way from days of old. And so
I remember when GNOME 3 was shaking up the world.
Yeah, and like this, they're doing such great stuff. A couple of the other things that they did in this release too is some of their core apps got updates as well. Like Image Viewer now their image viewing app instead of Eye of GNOME. Eye of GNOME is still going to be supported, but you know, it's not the one that's coming shipped. It's going to be Image Viewer, and then quick settings as well is got a key binding that's super S, so they did that, and then the calculator got an app, you know, got some enhancements done on it as well, and so they worked on a lot of their base stuff. I mean, it's like every GNOME is going to the point where every major release that they're having is actually making like leaps and bounds, you know, type.
I could see GNOME leaning towards more of the immutable distros as we go into the future.
Yeah,
because they're really aiming at stability, and
that's the other thing I was getting ready to bring up. It's like everything they're doing is becoming more and more rock solid stable, which is cool. And KDE used to be a lot more stable than GNOME.
And oh, you now, just opened a can of worms. Let's watch chat.
And now it's having a lot of issues for the moment because I think it's because GNOME has streamlined more of their stuff.
Right. KDE has so much integration, but, you know, it's crazy that I can use KWin on a different on a different platform, like, you know, with LXQT, mm-hmm. I'm not getting the Kwin crashes that I would get under Plasma.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's what I'm saying. Eye candy. She says, I'm right here. Melissa said that. And DT also, by the way, DT said, there are no useless distros except Josh's favorite, Gen 2. That thing is useless. But yeah, no, I do believe, I think that a lot of it for KDE is definitely the integration stuff. But GNOME is actually just, it's starting to look so sexy. You know, and yeah. but it's, you know, it comes out of the box already with the dark theme already implemented first versus the light theme. You could switch to that. I mean, they've done so much. Like, it all started with their hamburger menu, with their settings, how they streamlined it. And they're like, well, let's just take this a step further. You know, and so for me, you know, I am a window manager guy, you know, and I have been, and yep. I don't see myself ever changing from it. I'm just too staunch, too embedded onto it. But if I were to start recommending desktop environments to people, it's going to be, you know, LXQT or GNOME. Because when you told me about LXQT, oh, yeah. I was like, you picked a great one, or even XFCE as well. But at any end, God, I keep hitting it, my mic. But either way, you know, GNOME is really, it's coming along very beautifully. And with the advent of the extensions and all the different things that you could add to it, you could just really customize it really, really well to
meet, I mean, as far as GNOME is concerned, like, can you get under the hood where KDE did and, you know, get every little nook and cranny? No. And I don't think most people want or need that. You give them a cohesive theme, you know, you give people dark mode, you give people transparency, and that's going to do 90% of the eye candy that most people want.
Yeah.
You can go further with other platforms, but you don't need to.
Right.
You know, GNOME will get you up and running, and it'll do the job.
Right. And also, what a lot of people, Matt actually did a video about this a while ago, over 6 months ago. But he actually brought up a point on GNOME that I knew about and most veterans might know about because of the old days of GNOME. But a lot of the newer people today won't know about GNOME. And it's that GNOME is actually meant to be used with key bindings.
Yeah.
For navigation stuff.
I remember on GNOME 2, I could reset my whole X session off of key bindings.
Right. And so a lot of people, since it's RAM eating days, Hammer's saying he hasn't used GNOME since then. But it's actually very lightweight now. And if you use it with key bindings, bro, it'll turn your world around. It really will. I mean, it's very extensive that way. You could use it and you could drive around in it, and it's just like seamless. It's like very seamless.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was your usage when you were playing with it last? What did it look like?
DT says KDE is an all you can eat buffet on customization. GNOME is a sad plate of prison food.
Wow. Coming in hot.
So tell me, DT, wow, your disdain for GNOME. Prison plate of food. Well, I was in the Fed, so I ate pretty good.
Oh boy. So I wonder what DT, what do you think about Cosmic Rust? You know, getting away from GNOME, is that enough away? Oof. Sad plate of prison food.
Yeah, Cosmic Rust, you know, yeah, but
I'm excited to see what they do. And I definitely, you know, that was forked off of, or not forked, but has to be inspired by GNOME, I would think.
Yes.
Since Pop! OS was so about their customizations to GNOME. So yeah,
Cosmic, I like what they did on the Cosmic desktop. They did a lot of hard work on it. I just can't wait to see it, which it kind of, it takes me in the same vein as the new Serpent OS, which is the old Solus guys that are creating Serpent OS. You know, I follow them on Twitter, and when I'm, you know, every week they're releasing something, you know, about, oh, we did this on, you know, on Serpent OS doing this. And it, like, they've announced they're coming out with this distro like almost 2 years ago now, and there's not even a beta release or anything like that. You know, it's like they're taking their own sweet time, and I feel Cosmic is going down that yeah, same
they're
avenue.
Making sure that it's good before it comes out, I hope.
Yeah, but I would think that they would have already, you know, betas that they would have tested or opened up for testing. And
I'm sure that there are internal ones.
But yeah, I guess I don't understand, because I mean, they've already because I mean, think about this. They had Cosmic Desktop. No, not just because of Solus. Oh, you're talking about Solus. I'm talking about the Cosmic Desktop.
Okay.
Cosmic already had 3/4 of the work done. They already had to look, to feel everything. You know what I'm saying? They're just rewriting it in Rust, right? So if they had to work, you would have figured they would have had a beta out by now.
Yeah.
And they still haven't. So that's why I feel it's going that way.
True. DT with a great comment here, and I think it's pretty insightful.
That's just saying it wants to be where GNOME radically changed. Yeah, or disappears. Yeah. Unity dying made them rethink. Yeah, yeah. Actually, that is a good.
Yeah, it's a very, very, very valid good point.
Yeah, because yeah, you know, they definitely want to succeed, you know, succeed and keep a quality product to go paired with their actual hardware, you know, that they're doing. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That's just good business sense. But still, I would have thought that they would have had betas they would have had before testers to use right now.
Yeah, you're not seeing that. But
Solus OS, I don't know what's going on with that, because that's just like, that's been, and it's funny, it's almost, it's to me, and a lot of, you know, I see a lot of comments on X or Twitter, you know, for the us old folks, a lot of people are commenting that where it's starting to become its own meme again, you know, like the Solus 2.0 meme.
Oh man.
You know,
well, I mean, there's gonna be memes about it for a while. You got, you know, Steam OS, enough said.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they're alone in that.
No, they're not alone, but it's just and I've actually messaged the dev, and I've talked to the dev, and you know, I was like, hey, look, you know, when are you coming out with stuff? You know, I'm excited to look at it, do a review on it, you know, all that good stuff, you know. And he's like, it's coming. It's like the same old. And I'm like, all right, I've heard this one before. Yeah. The entire Linux community has heard this one before from you.
Yeah. better them than us. I can't make a distro. Yeah. You want to make a distro, or are we going to see a TLT from you, Alex?
You know, I've been asked that, and I've actually talked to a couple people about that. And I thought about making a distro, but I'm probably not as good as DT at ignoring all my messages. And so in fact, I'm pretty weak at it when it comes to Discord. I'm actually in Discord a lot, talking to people in Discord and stuff like that.
Next DT video, how to effectively ignore your users.
Exactly. And so I'm actually on the fence about whether I should do that or not.
Yeah.
But it would be
the most biased review on our channel.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
What did Josh say?
Josh, in at 1 minute to wrap up. So today I'm coming to you from a disco I made today from scratch. Is this another Gen 2 plug?
What distro could that be, Mr. Josh? But yeah, so I'm looking at doing that, but I haven't made a final decision on it. But I'm sure that when I do make a decision on that, I'll definitely announce it to the world. Yeah. Minimum
viable flatpack.
He doesn't even have audio. So how are you going to do your podcast today? Or are you guys not doing a podcast today? He's going to be doing this with hand. He's going to be doing sign language. Be careful on that. You might get canceled.
Oh man, yikes.
But this
was another fun one. It's always fun around here.
Yeah, I really enjoy doing these podcasts. I'm glad to be back. I'm sorry that we missed last week, you know.
Yeah. Oh,
But
it gave us content to talk about. If you missed the story at the beginning, how Linux became my Moby Dick for a week.
And you rage quit.
Catch the replay. It was fantastic, but I've gathered my wits about me. I'm not going anywhere.
Well,
but if you click the title because it said I rage quit, then it did its job.
There you go.
Gotcha.
Either way, it was a fun podcast, guys. It was great to have you guys in the chat. Love talking to you guys. You see us here every week. Like I said, if you guys catch us everywhere, we're now on Spotify. We're on Amazon Music, TuneIn, Podcast FM, or so I can't remember the other one. And I'm trying to get us on Apple Podcasts or Apple Play or whatever it is. So you're good. We're good there.
Yep.
Also, cool. If you get a chance, support the channel, visit us, either becoming a member at the YouTube channel, buy me a coffee, or on Patreon over there with the Linux Tube everywhere. Follow us on Twitter, join our Discord, all that good stuff. Either way.
And thanks to Steve for the super chat earlier today.
Oh, we appreciate I missed it. That. I'm so sorry. Oh, I am so sorry. Thanks for the super chat. Either way, you guys keep doing what you do. Keep on Linuxing. Stay safe. Be blessed. Have a great day, and we'll see you in the very next one.